Welcome to Promo Insiders, the ASI Media podcast that covers the issues that matter most to the promotional products industry. I'm Teresa Hegel, Executive Editor for Digital Content, and today I'm joined by Michael Stausholm, the CEO and founder of Sprout World. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about trends in sustainability and some other topics. So thank you so much for joining us today, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start off with talking about the Sprout Pencil. That's kind of like the signature product. Can you talk a little bit about like what it is and how you came up with the idea for this?
Of course, it's a very simple, basic idea. Actually, it's a normal graphite pencil, can also be a color pencil, as well as we have makeup liners. But the idea is that you write with your pencil like you normally would, and at the end, you have a stop left, and you normally throw that stop out. But our Sprout pencil, instead of an eraser, has a small seed capsule. So what you do is once you reach to the stop level, you simply plant the stop, just cover the capsule with the soil. First time you water it, the capsule will dissolve and out will come the seeds. And then you take care of it like any other normal plant. This one is actually my business card, has my name, and I don't think you can see it, but it has my name and my title, as well as it shows that this one contains spruce seeds. So you can actually grow your own Christmas tree from this Sprout pencil.
Nice. So do you include, when someone gets the pencil, do you include instructions on how to plant it or how to take care of the seeds?
Yes, normally they are sold together with as what we call a single card, which is a card where the pencil is attached and where you can, there's a QR code you can scan, but there's also planting instructions on it.
Okay, and where did the idea for this come from?
Originally, the idea came from some young students at MIT in Boston. They put it on Kickstarter.com looking for funding. Where I got in touch with them and made a deal to sell and distribute the product in Europe. I thought it was a great idea to show what sustainability is all about. The whole thing of using a product for its original purpose, and instead of throwing products out, you, in this case, literally give it a second life by planting it. So I thought it was a great product, made the deal with them to sell distribute, and within a year, back in 2013-14, I purchased the IP. We have a global patent for writing instruments you can plant, and acquired all the rights, and they went on to other projects. They were robotic engineers, actually.
Okay, so there was a little bit off the beaten path for them.
They wanted to build robots, not pencils you can plant.
So obviously, the product has like a great sustainability story, like you're talking about with the second life when you plant the stub. But what are some of the other ways, Sprout World itself is promoting sustainability?
In a lot of ways, I mean, sustainability, which is a very broad expression, is in our DNA. It's part of everything we do. When we take down one tree to make pencils from, we can actually make 175,000 pieces of Sprout pencils from one tree. All the pencils are FSC, PEFC certified, meaning we must plant at least one, often more, trees instead of the one we cut down. So we cut down one tree, we plant 100, we make 175,000 pieces of Sprout pencils, which can then potentially be planted into 175,000 pieces of new spruce trees or basil plants or whatever. So that alone is about biodiversity. It's about learning people to do gardening, urbanization, and so on. We also, in addition, our main production is in Poland and Europe. We also have a production in Pine City in Minnesota. But in Poland, we have our own forest. We recently planted 12,000 trees, which are never going to be used for pencils. They're just going to grow for the next 30 to 50 years, absorbing CO2, and then one day they will they'll be too old. But simply to give back where we take in addition. We are also a B Corp member, of course, which is great. It's a great stamp on our company, and we are, for instance, we do LCAs, life cycle analysis, on all our products, every single product, to make sure that everyone can see how they're made, where they're made, and so on.
And those help you to determine if there's areas where you can make things more sustainable or kind of lower emissions on different things.
It certainly helps us to show that. But the thing is that we have our main production in Europe, and we have our secondary production in the US, in Minnesota, and we source everything locally. So for our production in the US, we source the wood from the US, we source the seeds from the US, and we do the production, assembly, engraving, everything. So we don't import anything from, say, China to make our production. We produce where we sell to shorten the delivery and the impact, right? So when we do the LCAs, it always shows us that there's very little extra we can do, so to speak.
Right.
So that's an important part.
So as far as like the promotional products market as a whole, where do you think we are in terms of sustainability? I know, I feel like it's something that's talked about a lot more in the US than it was a couple of years ago, but I also think there might be, you know, a lot of greenwashing going on too. So I'm just curious, how do you think the market is looking? Are we heading in the right direction? Is there a lot of greenwashing? Are we still? I imagine we're still kind of in the U.S. farther behind where Europe is. But what is your sense of that?
A little bit behind, at least some countries in Europe. But what I've seen in the past few years, especially after COVID, is a lot of development in the U.S. With a lot more focus on sustainability and natural products. I still see, and I've been a part of the promotion industry for 25 years, I still see a lot of products being sourced in China and in Asia. It's like 80-90% of all the products, actually. And I think that's a big problem. The problem is that the promotional industry is very often, unfortunately, going for quantity rather than quality. You rather sell 20,000 plastic ball pens than 1,000 pencils in cases. But I see that changing, and that's the good news. And that's because all the big corporations, starting from this year, next year, they must do non-financial reporting, meaning they must document their CO2 impact on everything they purchase, meaning that they must demand from the suppliers, including the promotional industry, to document, to have LCAs, to be part of the science-based targets going towards net zero and so on. So a lot of things are happening. But I still see a lot of, unfortunately, greenwashing, a lot of companies talking about sustainable products. I mean, what is that?
Right. You have to kind of back it up with actual data to show that this is a lower impact than, you know, a traditional product or something else.
Yeah. And very importantly, when talking about sustainability, for many, many years, it was a marketing game, unfortunately. It was a lot of talking. But today we are moving towards a much more data-driven process. So sustainability is not about talking. It's about backing up with data.
Okay. So that obviously that's probably one of the big trends that's going on with sustainability. But what do you see as some other trends that are going to be coming up in the future, whether it's just like this year or in the next, you know, 5 years, what should companies be prepared for?
I think what we are seeing and what we are starting to see also, because we've seen a supply chain crisis issues under COVID, but also following with the logistics and so on, we are going to see much more production moving in country. For instance, in Europe, we'll see much more production in Europe. In the US, we will see much more production in the US. because that's the only way we can control and make sure that products are what we say they are, and we can guarantee quick deliveries. I mean, right. from our facility in Minnesota, we can ship within a few days or a few weeks, where from China, it would be months on run.
Right. So, I mean, there's the sustainability piece of having fewer emissions because it's traveling less, but there's also, you know, it's good for your business because you can get it quicker. So there's like kind of a double benefit.
It is definitely there's a double benefit there for everyone. It might be in the beginning a little bit more expensive to produce in the US or in Europe, but the benefits, in my opinion, greatly outweighs this slightly higher price.
Yeah. So what about sustainability myths? I feel like there tend to be a lot of misconceptions people have about eco-friendly products. Are there some that you see often, and if so, like how do you deal with them?
And you put it right there, because you use the phrase eco-friendly, because back to what is that? That term is being hugely abused in marketing. Mm-hmm. Because there's no data behind. It's just eco-friendly.
Right. And it's not like a certification or anything. It can mean whatever you want it to mean. You're kind of putting the value on it that you have, but not verifying it.
It's a word that is an absolutely no-go in our company. It's banned from everything we say or write.
Because well, I'm sorry for bringing it up.
Of course. No, but it's a very good example of where we are heading. Because yeah. Eco-friendly is, I have fantastic marketing people myself, but it's a marketing expression that is very fluffy and sounds good, but there's no backing, there's no data behind. So it's really much, very much illustrating where we are heading. We're heading away from that towards the data-driven backup.
So what about the term sustainability? Is that kind of a no-no too, or are you still okay with that term? Because that doesn't really have anything to back it up either.
No, you're absolutely right. And the problem is there's not that many words to replace sustainability.
Right.
And the problem is that also for me, for us, is if we don't use the term sustainability about what we are doing, then we can use other words, but people may not relate to those other words. So in terms of, say, marketing, for instance, we must use a word like sustainability, because that's what people are searching for online, right. With Google, for instance.
Right.
But it's back to, we see that it's changing. I mean, companies are talking about, we're talking about 100% natural, yeah. Because we know we can back that claim up. And that's a little bit more specific. That means all the raw materials, everything is 100% natural. There's nothing right. Artificial or harmful. Right. And that's the way we should be. That's where we yeah. should be heading.
Right. So, I mean, I guess sustainability is kind of like a good catch-all term. But then if you really want to prove that you're sustainable, then you kind of have to back it up with the data and have more specific kind of claims that you can also back up.
Exactly. As an example, I mean, sustainability is the kind of word that you put on your storefront to bring people into the store. But once they are in the store, you must be able to show them with data and with facts what your products, why are they sustainable? And the problem is today, a lot of companies, unfortunately also in the promotional industry, is using sustainability to bring people into the shop, but then they lack the data and the backup to show how it's natural and how it's not harming the environment.
Right. So for the promotional industry, what advice do you have for companies, especially for people that are kind of getting started with sustainability? I know, you know, I hear it all the time, like sustainability is a journey. So obviously you can't, I think it'd be impossible to just start out like 100% perfect, but there's definitely steps you can be taking along the way to get more sustainable. So what's some advice you have for companies to start that journey?
It's exactly, it is a journey and it has to start somewhere. The problem with when we talk about sustainability, apart from it being a fluffy expression, is that it's so big, it's such a huge task to change your production from, say, China-based to European-based, or US-based. So we have to start somewhere. And it's much, much better to be at 20% than being at 0%. The important thing is that you not just talk about the journey towards sustainability. You must actually show how you plan to get there. We have some very ambitious net zero targets for our whole production, and right now, with the way the world is and with the technology available, it's impossible to become net zero for anyone. Anyone who tells you that they're net zero, that's not true. But what we do is that we have made a very specific plan on how to change the energy mix in our production, how to go from diesel trucks or from airplane transportation to electric road only. So you must be able to show a clear plan and work on a clear plan to show how you get there.
Right.
It's basically, I call it the salami method. It's you take the salami and then you cut it in slices, because then it becomes much more easy to work with, rather than you try to do the whole salami at one time.
Right. And I guess another thing is that it's important to make these goals, and like you said, but you actually have to slice it up and have the steps, because a lot of, I think a lot of companies in the past have gotten kind of slammed for making these lofty goals, but then not meeting them and not really having any kind of concrete way of meeting them. So, saying that you have a goal is meaningless if there's not, steps that you can show you're taking or how you're going to get there.
Exactly. It's one way, for instance, is the science-based targets that we have, that we are part of, and they have approved our goals towards net zero, where we have already reduced our scope 1, scope 2 by almost 60% in 1 year, going towards 2029, where we actually want to be net zero. But the fantastic thing about that is that the reduction is in our scope 1 and 2. That means it's what we can do something about. It's mm-hmm. our office, our employees. Right. How do they get to the office, right? Some are saying that's the easy part, which it is. So right now we're working on scope 3 also. But when we work, when we supply to the promotional industry, for instance, our scope 1 and 2 is their scope 3.
Right.
So when we have our house in order, which we do, it's a huge benefit for the promotional industry to purchase Sprout pencils, because it helps their scope 3 and for them to get there.
Right. It is all about kind of working together. So if you have your, like you said, if you have your house in order, that helps, down the line in the value chain. And it all kind of works together that way.
Exactly.
Well, Michael, do you have anything else that you want to add?
No, I'm very happy to see that the promotional industry in general, also in the US, are very focused on sustainable products. And it makes so much more sense to sell something natural rather than just selling another T-shirt or another USB stick, right? And fortunately, we see a lot of conferences, a lot of hotels, banks, and so on. They're replacing their ball pens with Sprout World pencils because it makes so much more sense. People are still talking about three wooden pencil, ball pens mm-hmm. being a good thing for the environment, but I'm sorry to say they have ink, mm-hmm. they have metal parts still. So it doesn't matter that it's made out of wood; it's still not good for the environment. So I'm happy to see that there's a lot more focus on purchasing natural products.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Michael. This has been great. Once again, for ASI Media, I'm Teresa, and this has been Promo Insiders.
Thank you.